Leaning Toward Wisdom, the podcast, episode 4079.
Shadows out on the pavement follow me around like your memories. Waking without you beside me, without all the aching, I think you were a dream. I guess we never found our way. I'm thinking that it's safe to say, but you're the only one that I ever wanted. You, all that I wanted. You, for love, love you.
Her name is Shelley Fraley, F-R-A-L-E-Y. It's from a 2012 record that you can buy at iTunes for $9.90. Shelley Fraley. Name of the record is Hush, The Secrets Project. The name of the song, All That I Wanted. It's episode 4079 of Leaning Toward Wisdom. Hustle is the breakfast of championship accomplishment. That's what we're going to talk about next.
I guess we never found a way. I'm thinking that it's safe to say, you're the only one that I ever wanted. You, all that I wanted. You, for love.
You don't have to take what life gives you. Yes, you can want things. Shelley, well, she's singing about somebody. That's all that she wants. It may be a person. It may be maybe a thing. But it may be an accomplishment. Every day you get results. And mostly they may be the ones that you deserve. Not always, but mostly. Product of our choices determines our actions. And our actions, they garner some kind of result, some kind of outcome. Hustle is synonymous with putting in good effort, working hard to chase success. The thing that you want, like Ms. Fraley sings, working hard, doing what's necessary to accomplish something that's worthwhile. Well, it's that, or it's conning people. I don't know if you remember that movie, The Hustler, with Paul Newman and Jackie Gleason. It's a great movie. Pool Hustler. Okay, I don't mean it like that. I mean it in the good way. In fact, I mean it in the best of ways. And while I normally bury the lead, let's not bury the lead this week. Easy just doesn't work. There's the lead. Easy doesn't work, and hustle ain't easy. Easy doesn't work. I'm going to go so far, and I'm not a guy that is real fond of absolutes, but easy just doesn't ever work. We want things. We want relationships. We want things. We want money. We want success. We want accomplishment. And we also, we want to think that easy can work. We want to think that there's an easier way. We just haven't figured it out yet, and somebody else has figured it out. And so we can spend hours and hours, days and days, years, trolling the interwebs, looking for that smart person who has got it all figured out, that person who knows the easy button. We need to buy it, probably for some number that ends in a 7. No, listen, the reason that so many systems are available as online courses for everything from selling to website design to podcasting to producing killer online videos is because they want it to be easier than it really is. And it's not. It's not, at least not at first. It's why I'm so fond of the quote, "Everything is hard until it's easy." I know. We don't like absolutes, and I'm right there with you. You know, never do this, always do that. This will never work. That will always work. Absolutes just are rarely true. And I would love to be able to accurately say that absolutes never work, but okay, well, there again is an ill-spoken absolute. But the truth is, everything is hard. Now, hard is relative. I mean, some things are less hard for you because of your natural aptitude. Maybe you've got some existing skills and you've just got some knowledge and know-how, and whatever else is constituted in making you who you are. Other things, they're extremely hard for you because maybe you lack the natural aptitude and all those other facets of your personality that make it easy in something else. Listen, make no mistake about it, though. It is all hard. These are just merely degrees of hard. And I think the sooner that we accept that, the better off we're going to be. So many of our problems are caused by our own false expectation that something is going to be easy or easier. And then when it's not, well, we get down. We get depressed. We get into a funk. We lose confidence. I mean, those eggs in your refrigerator, they're not as fragile as our true confidence is sometimes. And I'm not talking about bravado. I'm not talking about hubris. I'm certainly not talking about your delusions. If you have any, well, don't we all? No, I mean, I'm talking about that confidence that you've got deep, deep down in your heart. Yeah, that confidence that's wrapped in an eggshell thin skin. And I guess most of ours, well, okay, Donald Trump, maybe his isn't, but mine is and yours is. Bad outcomes aren't our fault. Well, not always. I mean, we're subjected to the idiocy of others. You do know that. I mean, if only they had done this or if only they had done that, our lives would be so much different, so much better. But, you know, that moron coworker who got the promotion instead of us, you know, the boss refused to give any of us the raise that we deserved. I should be the one who got that job. I should be the one that got that promotion. I should be the one who got the recognition for this idea, which was mine after all. The company should have sent me to that training instead of him. Why did they send him? On and on and on it goes. All of this self-defeating talk. Mostly because we probably don't think that our future is in our hands.
My, oh my, this hair of gold. Pull it back from over your eyes. I know you're scared and alone, but you don't have to hide. You need to take your time, so I'll set you free. I don't want you when you're blind, and in time you'll come back to me. So I'll wait for that day when I hear you say, don't drop me, 'cause I'm remind you it's time. You are mine, forever mine. And now it's winter setting in. 2 days since auld lang syne. And you don't like the shape you're in. This year there's peace to find. If you feel like you could fall, maybe I could fall too. But if you give it all, as if you promise me the best of you, then I'll wait for that day when I hear you say, don't drop me. I'm hoping to land in your hands. And if you don't believe, I'll promise to make you see.
It's a 2015 record by Joshua Radin, R-A-D-I-N. The name of the record is Onward and Sideways. The name of the song is In Your Hands. Unfortunately, too many times I think we just neglect to realize, to recognize that our future is in our hands. I mean, we do have a lot to do with it, after all. Yes, there's that whole victim mindset and all that stuff, and it's real. It's real. Maybe we've all been prone to fall prey to it a time or two. Some of us more often than others. You know, but hustling, man, hustling is doing the hard work, and searching for easy is just an avoidable, yes, I said avoidable, distraction. It's in our hands.
Don't believe, I promise to make you see.
So easy. So easy to spend time searching for easy. And controlling the distraction, really hard. Really hard. More and more harder. Because the gamification of social media is making it even harder. Because we're busy liking, plussing, favoriting, giving props. I go to any social media platform and you will see some form of gamification. Just a cursory browsing of the web and reading a little bit about gamification will tell you that it has an addictive quality. These platforms use it, and they use it for good reason. People love the game of it. It's fueling our crazy need to always be connected to complete strangers. Social media platforms and the guys that and gals that engineer the user interfaces, they know how to make these things addictive. It's the purpose. It's a money-making effort, after all. And then there's the avoidance of hard, which comes probably instinctively to most of us, procrastinating. I haven't met anyone yet who says that procrastinating is a difficult chore. Is it for you? I mean, it's one of the most active verbs in human language. Isn't that ironic? Procrastinate. I'm so busy, I just haven't gotten around to it. Man, I hear that. I hear that every week. I hear that from really smart people, professional people. I'm so busy, I just haven't gotten around to it. That's code for I didn't do it because it wasn't as important as other things. Or I didn't do it because I'm afraid. Or I don't know how, or there could be a million other reasons. But we put it off. We put things off. We put things off that we hate to do, things that we don't see value in doing, things that we're not quite confident in doing, things that we may not know how to do, things that we may fear doing. Hustle. Hustle is one of those things. Lots of people are afraid to hustle. And many people just aren't confident in how to do it, how to go about it. And so it never gets done. Oh, yeah, people talk about it. Yeah, people plan on it. They even formulate plans. They even write down strategies on doing it, but they never get around to it. And it ruins any chance that they have to succeed. And after all, it is just so much easier, isn't it, to sit back and think that it's luck, it's serendipity. I mean, that's the missing ingredient for my success. It's not any of these other things. It's not anything that I can necessarily control. It's just, it's right place, right time. I just have got to be in the right place at the right time. We can think that the opportunities are just always going to go to other people and they're not coming to me. And them not coming to me is the reason that I'm not achieving what I would really like to achieve. Or maybe we can think that it's our circumstances. It's our situation. You know, I mean, look at them. I mean, look at where they were able to go to school. You know, look at the kind of family situation that they had versus mine. I mean, look at the advantages that they had given their family's financial wherewithal versus my family's lack. And so people live by that two-word motto. If only, if only, if only this were different, or if that were different, then I'd be able to find success. I mean, think of what you would most like to accomplish right now. Yeah, go ahead. Think about it. You don't need to stop the car. You don't need to get off the treadmill. Keep doing what you're doing, but just think. Think about the one thing that you would like to most accomplish. Just one thing, one big thing. All right, you got it? This is an interactive episode today, so you're going to have to participate. You know, don't worry. Yes, you can do it while you're driving. You can do it while you're working out. You don't need to take your eyes off the road. Certainly don't take your hands off the wheel. You just have to think. I mean, can you do whatever it is you're doing and think? Well, of course you can. Well, you're going to have to do something else too. You're going to have to be honest. Be honest with yourself. The thinking part probably isn't going to be all that difficult, but the being honest with yourself, that may be really challenging, but come on, come on. You can step up to the challenge. Okay. Now that you're holding a thought about the one thing that you most want to accomplish, something that you have wanted to get done maybe for a long time, but for some reason you just have not been able to do it. In fact, maybe you haven't even been able to start it, much less finish it. I mean, maybe you're just paralyzed. And whenever you think about this one thing, you feel like a person who's trapped in a minefield. You're just, any direction that I step is could be my last. And so you stand perfectly still. You avoid taking a step in any direction because you think the worst thing that can happen, that's going to happen. You ever wonder why you couldn't see something before? Something that looks so clear to you now, but in the past, man, it was concealed. It was camouflaged. You know, you've seen those graphical images that have a hidden word in them, maybe even a hidden image. And you know, there's an image, you know, somebody will post something on a Facebook or some other social media platform and say, okay, tell me when you can see it. So you know there's something there, but at first glance, you're like, I don't see it. It just looks like a bunch of dots and lines. And you stare at it, and you stare at it, and you stare at it, and suddenly you see it. Well, now it's unavoidable. I mean, you can't go back. You can't turn the clock back and go to those earlier moments when you were staring at it, and you were just in oblivion. It was like, I don't see it at all. Now you can't avoid seeing it. I mean, you just glance at this image now and the word pops right out at you instantly. A 62-year-old man slumps over at his desk while working. The office calls 911 and scrambles to help him. He's conscious, but he's in a whole lot of pain and he's sweating. And within minutes, emergency personnel, they're hovering over him as the entire staff stands back at some safe distance. They're hoping he's okay. Off he goes to the hospital, lights and sirens blaring. 2 weeks later, he returns to the office. He has survived his first heart attack. Wasn't severe, but it was severe enough. Because today he's different. By all accounts, he was a workaholic, a pleasant workaholic. You know, staffers reported that he would arrive early, he would leave late, he would often be found there on the weekends. Hard charging and focused. Those were the words most used by his team to describe their boss. The harshest critics in the office reported how competent he was. And the worst thing that they really could say about him is that he was, quote, all work, all work. Well, even before the first day back is half gone, the staff, they pick up on something. I mean, they notice that this guy, he's a different man today. Something's changed. Oh, yeah, well, sure, he had a heart attack. They know that. But they can't put their finger on exactly what has changed. I mean, his demeanor's different. They know his priorities are different. I mean, you can just tell. Today, he's not all work. He calls a staff meeting to end the day, his first day back. So he gets the team together in this conference room, and he thanks everybody for their well wishes and the hospital visits and the flowers and the support and the gifts and the support to his family. It's a short meeting. It's a short thank you, but it is emotional. And then he shows glimpses of his old self by pulling up their current business. But even that is not, it's not like prior times when he would review their monthly progress. No, I mean, this is different. It's business, but this is still very different, very, very different. And he tells the team to go home tonight, spend a nice evening with their families. Well, he's never said that before. Tomorrow morning, come in and spend the first hour taking care of whatever's on your agenda, he says, and then take 30 minutes to think about what we've done so far this month and what you think we need to do to hit our goal. And let's get back together here in this conference room at 10:30 in the morning. I want us to have a real candid conversation about what we can do better. And then at noon, I'd like to take everybody out to lunch. And at lunch, I only want to have one rule. We can't talk about business. I want us to spend 90 minutes here before lunch, focused on solving our problems. Then I want us to get away for the next 90 minutes or so at lunch and not even give it a second thought. I want us to just enjoy each other's company during lunch. And so for tonight, go home, and I'll see everybody in the morning. And thanks again. Thanks again for everything you do. Well, they're pleased now. He was always respectful, but this was very different. This had a very different tone. It's clear to everybody on the team, he's a changed man. Months later, he still changed. No, he hadn't gone soft. But his focus isn't singular anymore. It's not just all business. There's some balance in his life that absolutely positively did not exist before. You've either got a reason or you don't. Leroy Jethro Gibbs. Yeah, you know him. He's the boss on NCIS. You've either got a reason or you don't. Well, this boss, he has some different reasons now. Sure, yeah, work is still important. But his approach to the work has changed drastically, all because of a major health episode one afternoon at work some weeks ago. He sees life very differently now. The team, well, they're more than a team. They're people. They've got families. They've got dreams. And he is now bent toward helping each of them and all of them accomplish all that they can, not because life is all business, but because of their lives, even at work, represent the lives of their families too. And the purpose of it all seems so clear to him now. Because before it was just, as the critics would even have said, all work. Now it's work for a reason. It's work for a reason. What's your reason? That's the issue that I want you to wrestle with. That's the issue I'm wrestling with. What is your reason? And don't say to make more money. Oh, well, okay, you can say that, but then I'm going to ask, okay, why? Why? What do you want to make more money for? I mean, let's just get to the heart of the matter. It's a 1989 record by Don Henley, Dallas and Texas's own. Name of the record was The End of the Innocence. Name of the song, The Heart of the Matter. He's got a brand new record, and it does have a little bit of a, I guess a little bit more of a country slant to it, but it's a really good record. I'm enjoying it, but this song, yeah, he's singing about the heart of the matter, and I think there is the heart of the matter of what do you want and why do you want it? I mean, that really is the heart of it all. That is the point of the hustle, and that's where you're going to find, I believe, the motivation to hustle. I don't know what it looks like for you, but I know you need it if you're going to reach your goal. If you're going to achieve your dreams, if you're going to improve your lot in life, if you're going to do whatever it is you want to do, you're going to have to first figure out the answer to those questions. What do you want and why do you want it? There have been times in my life when I thought I knew what I wanted, and there have been many, many other times where I didn't have a clue. I mean, I really didn't have a clue. Now, neither one were particularly very helpful to me. To think that you want something that you may not really want, well, that has proven as ineffective as not knowing at all what I wanted. I mean, you're just kind of stuck in either situation. If you're expecting me to talk to you about passion or chasing your dream, well, just tap the brakes, buddy, because that ain't going to happen. You know, instead, I'm going to ask you to reframe it by taking the attention off of yourself and putting it onto somebody else. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to ask you to consider, maybe for the first time in your life, I'm going to ask you to consider aiming at what you can do to help the people that you love the most.
Sticking them together, one by one. Tried to figure out the picture, but it was far too scattered, too undone. You
kept breaking up the scenery, changing up the details to better rhyme. I'm not giving up on you, love, the one day soon, love, you will come. My dear one, find freedom, forfeit not hope. My dear one, believing will bring you home.
They are Jenny and Tyler, husband and wife, from a 2015 record, a brand new record. It's $9.99 over at iTunes. The name of the record is Of This I'm Sure. The name of the song is My Dear One. Jenny and Tyler. You've got a dear one or dear ones. What do you want for your family and why do you want it? I'm not saying that's the question for you, but that's my question. More specifically, my question today is, what do you want for your wife and why do you want it? And my why question isn't because I love her and care about her, although I do. It's more specific than that. And I am talking about financial. I am talking about professional goals. And yes, how I accomplish those goals, that's important to me. And that's the process part of things. And okay, well, we're not there yet. I mean, right now we're focusing on the people side of the equation. My wife is my who. After that, there are some other who's. I don't have just one dear one. I've got multiple dear ones. My kids, my grown kids and their spouses, their families. But my wife trumps them because she is my number one who. And so if I start thinking about what I need to do, the process, to hustle in order to reach my goals, I have to concentrate on her. She's the subject of the goal. She's largely who I want to do it for. And I'm not saying that you can separate yourself from the people that you love most, but I am saying that I think hustling to achieve for somebody else can be more powerful than doing it to serve yourself. And I know other people may not agree with me on that, but that's okay. They're wrong. Ask anybody who is bashful about self-promotion to explain to you why they have trouble putting themselves out there. And you're going to hear all kinds of troubling thoughts and notions. Ask them what lengths they would go to serve the people they love the most. And those same people, those people that are hesitant to put themselves out there, they suddenly become quite fierce and determined. Isn't that odd? It is to me. I mean, they might take verbal abuse. Well, they might even take physical abuse. But let somebody start in on their family or a close friend, and they will break out the brass knuckles. I mean, where does that courage come from? Why the sudden change of attitude? And when you have these conversations with people like that, you can feel it. I mean, you can see it in their face. You can see it in their body language. Their whole demeanor changes when they talk about the prospect of having to defend people that they love the most. That's very different than defending themselves. I mean, they go from a coward to just fearless in a nanosecond. And there it is. Absolutely, there it is. The bigger focal point of our service. It's not us. It's not us. It's the people we most love. We'll do things for them that we wouldn't otherwise do. And rightfully so. Rightfully so. The people who are dear to us, they empower us. Don't they? I mean, they elevate our resolve. At least they should. If you're not hustling for achievement like you should, then what I'm doing today is I'm asking you to consider who you need to do it for. Who are you trying to serve? Who do you most want to serve?
Will you stop me in my tracks the very first time? Had me going the very first night. Wave goodbye, your keys locked inside. I knew you were the only one. It's your crazy voicemails and your spider toes. Way funnier than anyone knows. With your daddy's eyes and your grandma's gun, you're the only one. That little crook in your teeth and your 5-inch feet when you tie your hair up in a bun. Whatever the weather, we'll stick together forever, cause you're the only one. 7 billion in the world, baby, I only wanna be with you. I don't want another girl, baby, I only wanna be with you. Salt on everything you eat. Wake up freezing cause I stole the sheets. And you talk to the wall, pop your gum in your sleep. You're the only one. And you worry about your dad on his motorbike. The way your voice cracks when you wanna fight. And you never wanna sleep, so I talk all night to the only one. Turn out the lights and hold me tonight. We don't need the sun. Whatever the weather, we'll stick together forever, cause you're the only one.
He is Matt Carney. It's his brand new record. Well, it's been out for a while now. 2015 record, though. Just Kids. Name of the song is Billion. 7 billion people in the world. And I only want to be with you. You got somebody in your life that's that important? I'm clearly approaching this from a man's perspective. I've got a wife, grown kids, grandkids. There are plenty of people in my life to motivate me to hustle more. Yeah, there's 7 billion people in the world, but, and yes, I care about them, but yeah, I care about these people more. I care about my wife, my grown kids, my grandkids. I mean, that's, I've said it before, that's my tribe.
7 billion in the world, baby, I only want to be with you. I don't want another girl, baby, I only want to be with you. 7 billion in the world, baby, I only want to be with you.
Yeah, here's the paradox, and you hear it all the time. You've got to do this for yourself. Are you sure about that? Because I'm not. I mean, could that statement, you got to do this for yourself, could that really just be more fuel for our self-centeredness? Could it be society's ongoing rant to reinforce the notion that we're number one? It sort of reminds me of that Michael Douglas character, Gordon Gekko, in Wall Street, the movie. Greed is good. Greed is good. Well, if greed is good, then selfishness, well, that's even better. I mean, is it really the best idea to just do something for yourself?
Is the number one. No is the saddest experience you'll ever know. Yes, it's the saddest experience you'll ever know.
It's from a 2004 CD, Three Dog Night, the complete hit singles. The song is One. Corey Wells, he founded Three Dog Night back in the late 60s, and it's fitting to play a snippet here of their song One because he died just some days ago on October the 20th, 2015. He was 74 years old, and like me, he had five grandkids, a wife, two grown kids, two daughters. I've got a son and a daughter. I was about 14 years old when I went to see Three Dog Night play a live concert. And yep, they played this song. I'm betting that Corey Wells left the planet thinking about the people that he loved instead of thinking about himself. I mean, no way to really know, but one is the loneliest number. So, do you hustle or need to hustle just for yourself? That's fine. It's fine. I'm not being judgmental about it. Well, only kind of, sort of. It's just not something that I can really relate to. It's not something I want to relate to. In fact, I'm not interested in being alone. To each his own, I guess. And so let's think about what hustling looks like. What is hustle? It's doing the hard, arduous work of achieving something, and it could be anything. It doesn't have to be some highbrow accomplishment. I mean, let's just call it something that you want to accomplish. But first, there's the hurdle, the constraint, the problem, the reason that you can't or you think you can't get it done. Something is standing in your way. Something is preventing you from succeeding. And this is the if part of your challenge. We talked a little bit about it before. I mean, you'd get it done if this would happen or if that would happen. Lots of ifs prevent you from being as accomplished as you would like. Well, that's what you think. And we both know it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's real or if it is imagined. It's still powerful enough to stop you in your tracks. And I won't bother trying to talk you out of believing that whatever it is you fear is real. Because for you, it is real. I mean, that boogeyman is lurking in the shadows of your bedroom, ready to pounce. Just go ahead and believe it. And let me tell you why I don't care if you believe it or not, because it doesn't matter. You've still got to do the work. I mean, boogeyman or not. And besides, we've all got dragons in our life, real or imagined. And we both know that the imagined ones are often way more powerful than the real ones. And still we have to do something. Well, or do nothing. Even the zaniest among us know that doing nothing won't work. Ever. Never has. I mean, whatever dragons are challenging you, they are manifested in one big thing that we all share. Fear. Fear. And we're afraid of all sorts of things. I love to hear those people, usually pro athletes, they get in front of a camera, you know, and they proudly declare, I ain't afraid of nothing. I ain't afraid of nobody. Yeah, keep telling yourself that, buddy. I mean, keep telling yourself that, you moron. I would wager that cat is full of fear. And that's why he's showing off all that bravado. He's acting like I did when I was a kid. I'm probably, I don't know, 4 years old or so, walking down a dark hall of our house, and I'd hum or I'd whistle, you know, for some idiotic reason. I thought me making noise, that would make this hallway safe. You know, something about the sound coming out of your own mouth makes you feel ever so slightly braver. Be loud, Mr. Pro Football Player, or whomever you may be. Show off, brag, let us see how fearless you are. You know, because really, you're no braver than I was as a four-year-old walking down the hall humming to myself. Now, don't expect me to tell you that there's nothing to fear. That ain't the point, and I'm not that guy. Because honestly, there's plenty of stuff to fear. Sickness, death, lost jobs, broken careers, busted relationships, financial disaster. I mean, just open up the homepage on your web browser, whatever it may be, and you are going to see tons of stories of bad things. Just this past weekend up in Stillwater, Oklahoma, homecoming, I believe, is an awful incident involving a car running into crowds of people. Killed 4 people, injured almost 50 others. Some are still in critical condition in the hospital. Every second of every day, every second of every night, bad things happen. And still we go about our business. I mean, as awful as things are for those families in Stillwater, Oklahoma, people in Stillwater and everywhere else, we're going about our business today. I mean, what are we going to do? Be paralyzed? Do nothing? Not go about our daily business? Not live our lives because 4 people lost theirs? Doesn't mean we don't care. Doesn't mean that we're heartless. Doesn't mean that we're not sympathetic toward those people and the loss that they suffer. But it just means it's impractical for the world, even our world, to just stop at every occurrence of something bad. Fear. Yeah, fear, it's realized for some. For the rest of us, we're anxious. We're anxious that we may be next. Enter an ambition, something we want to accomplish. And now, all those fears, well, now we got new fears. New fears enter our world. And it all piles up. It all piles up on top of our shoulders like a weight bar filled with enough weight to just drop us to our knees. And we can't move. We can't move. We can't move, not an inch, much less take a step or go fast. Fear. Fear is the biggest thief of all. His name is Ben Rector. It's from a 2015 record called Brand New. Name of the song is Fear. Yeah, he's another Oklahoma kid. Did pretty well for himself. Doing pretty well for himself. I like his stuff. He's one of those artists that I've got nearly everything he's got. This record is also available on iTunes. Brand new. It's his newest release. 2015 record. The other day, I was telling my wife, I don't know, we were talking about something, and I guess the subject of my own fears came up, and I said to her, you know, if Chris Farley can do that idiotic shirtless dance, I think I can find the courage to do whatever I need to do. And I was referencing a skit that he did about a Chippendale audition. It was a funny sketch, but I remember watching that thing live in 1990 and thinking, the man has no shame. I, for one, am very happy that Ben Rector did not let fear keep him from pursuing his musical dreams and passions, because he could have turned and run as he sang, but he didn't. He didn't, and I, for one, am glad. If Chris Farley can do this idiotic shirtless dance, I think I can find the courage to do whatever I need to do. Don't ask me why that popped into my mind when I said that to my wife a week or so ago. Now, I realize Chris Farley was a man who had no shame, and I don't think it's wise to be shameless. In fact, I know it's not wise to be shameless. We need to have some sense of shame sometimes. I do think it's wise, though, to be brave, and I think it's wise to make meaningful action happen in our lives, to take it in spite of whatever fears that we've got. This isn't carelessness. It's not a lack of caution. It's not the inability to exercise prudence. I think it's the refusal to let some unknown outcome stop us from pursuing something worthwhile. And the unknown outcome, the fear, is almost always a far lesser negative thing than the positive outcome that we hope to achieve. Years ago, I got certification to instruct sales call reluctance. It was during a time in my life, circa 1996, 1997 or so, and I was wrestling with some professional drives. Namely, I was wondering, do I want to keep doing what I'm doing? And I knew I had my own fears. And since I had been involved in sales and sales management my entire adult life, I knew, and I still know, how real that fear is for people. I knew how real it was for me, almost everybody else that I ever encountered. But I knew I was smart enough to know, what's the worst thing that can happen? And okay, here's some answers. The person's going to refuse to buy. They're going to ridicule me. They're going to dog cuss me. Those last two, I'm an old guy. Those last two, ridiculing or dog cut, they have never, ever happened to me. The first one, people refusing to buy. Well, sure, that's happened quite a lot, but here I am. I'm alive to tell the tale. Yes, people have refused to buy whatever I was selling and whatever I would hope to sell in the future. Guess what? More people are going to refuse me. And yet here I am. I'm still alive. But you know what? Other people did buy from me. And if I had not made the offer, what about those people? By having the courage to make the offer, I was able to make some people happy, even though some others said no. Now, if you're not in sales, then maybe you can't relate to that fear, but it doesn't matter. You have your own. Think about it and keep thinking about it, because that's your enemy. That's your enemy. That's what's killing your hustle. And it's that lack of hustle that's killing your accomplishments. The reason you don't achieve more in your life is because of that. Nothing more. Nothing more. I know you want to think that life is more complicated than that and way more sophisticated than that, but here's the newsflash, kids. It's not. It's not. It's actually pretty simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. Losing? Losing's easy. Winning? It's really hard.
If I had a gun for every ace I've drawn, you know I could arm a town the size of Avalon. But don't you push me, baby, because I'm only in love. You know I'm only in it for the gold. Now all that I am asking is for 10 gold dollars. And I could pay it back with one good hand. You can look around this wide world over, but you'll never find another honest man. That's a bad deal in the country. That's a bad deal in town. Put your gold money where your love is, baby, before you let my deal go down. Go down.
It's a 2006 record by Dave Alvin. The name of the record is West of the West.
Don't you push me.
Name of the song is Loser. Fear of failure, fear of success, fear. I mean, who cares what you're afraid of? I don't. Shoot, I don't even care about my own fears. Why should I care about yours? Here's what I know. I'm kidding. You know that. I know that my fears have killed more dreams, stopped me from accomplishing more than any other single element in my life. There is not even a close second. I know that's true. I think you know that's true. And I also know that Mark Twain was right when he said, I've had a lot of worries in my life, most of which never happened.
Everybody's bragging and they're drinking
that wine. And I can tell the queen of diamonds by the way she shines. Now you just come to daddy, all an inside straight. Yeah, I got no chance of losing this time. Nah, I got no chance of losing this time. Nah, I got no chance of losing this time.
Of all the worries that you've had in your life, would you say that most of them have happened? Or are you like me and Mark? Yeah, Mark Twain. We're on first name basis. That they never did happen. I think most of us can relate. I think most of us can relate to Mr. Twain's quote, because most of us realize that that's true. We worry about a lot of things. We cross a lot of bridges that we never do have to cross. Now, this is urgent. This is urgent because nobody can achieve a dream without hustle. And if fear is what's preventing most hustle, then I guess today's show is really about that. It's about hustling in spite of fear. Mr. Twain, he left us with another great quote. All you need in this life is ignorance and confidence, and then success is sure. We know that's right. You know that's right. I mean, that just rings true, doesn't it? I mean, sometimes we outsmart ourselves. You ever thought to yourself, you know, look at that guy over there. I mean, look at the success that guy's got. I'm smarter than him. Oh, well, that's it. That's it. I'm too smart to be successful. We do outsmart ourselves sometimes. We know so much, and that's what sparks our fears. Over 15 years ago, when we got our two Westie dogs, White West Highland Terriers, Rocky and Rosie, we lost Rocky back in the spring. Rosie's still with us and doing well. But when they were just puppies and we brought them home, Rosie climbed out on top of a retaining wall in our backyard. Well, she didn't really climb on it. It's one of those railroad tie walls. She went under the guardrail from... you know, like the pull deck, onto the top part of this retaining wall. Fearless, completely fearless. And we watched her pretty anxiously because she was just a puppy, you know, new surroundings. And as most puppies, not fully coordinated yet. But we left her alone, kind of kept an eye on her, but we left her alone. She was just adventurous. She still is now as a 15-year-old. She didn't know how dangerous it might be if she fell, but she didn't fall. I mean, she was a puppy and she didn't know better. I mean, it was Twain's magical combo of ignorance and confidence. And I think about that stuff. I see it nearly every day in my young grandchildren. You know, kids that don't know how to do things like skate or any number of other things, and they're having to learn everything, right? And I think about this quote by Mr. Twain, all you need in this life is ignorance and confidence, and then success is sure. You don't know what you don't know. You don't know how until you learn. I like to think about stuff like that often, and I know that sometimes I fancy myself being too smart, and I often wonder, how can I unlearn something that I already know? I mean, it's kind of like looking at that graphical image and I can't see it. I just can't see it. And all of a sudden you do see it. How can you go back to when you couldn't see it? You can't. You can't. I haven't figured out how yet. I mean, I have to hack my own head trash some other way. And you do too. Hustle abounds every time you see accomplishment, every single time. I don't care. Look in your life, look in the life of somebody else. And every time you see accomplishment, I can promise you behind it, there's hustle. Losing can abound even in spite of hustle. Maybe abound is a little too strong. I mean, losing can be part of your life even if you are hustling, because everybody loses now and again. But I know this, you cannot succeed without hustle. can't be done. I mean, that simple math is always, yeah, you heard it here, he says with an absolute, that simple math is always in play. No hustle equals no chance for success. Hustle equals no guarantee for success, but at least you give yourself an opportunity to win. And so what's it going to be? I mean, are we going to go down the path of no chance? No chance at all. No chance at all that I'm going to make this dream come true. No chance at all that I'm going to accomplish this thing. No chance at all that I'm going to better myself. Or I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to get a chance. And then there's this. The more you hustle and the longer you hustle, the odds swing to your favor. Do you believe this? I so believe this, and I want you to believe it. The more you hustle, the longer you hustle, the odds swing to your favor. That's pretty simple math, too. And you know what makes it even more simple? Most people quit. Most people quit. Even the ones who started out hustling in time, they're going to get discouraged and they're going to give up. They're going to quit. Other people, they're going to give it only half-hearted effort and they fool themselves, and some try to fool all the rest of us into thinking that they're really hustling. They're not. They're not. They just look like they are. They're just giving it a little bit of an effort. Those are the folks who are gathered in the break room at work. They're the ones griping about everything and everybody. They whine, they complain, they moan. They're devoting more energy to finding sympathetic listeners than doing the work because they'd rather spend their time doing that. Okay, get away from those people. Fact, success or any worthwhile accomplishment is arduous work. Just is. Rewarding. It's rewarding. But it's tough. I mean, there's just work to do. They are the Average White Band. It's their freshman release in 1974, the greatest year for music in my life. It's a $9.99 record over at iTunes. It's called AWB. The name of the song is Work to Do. Wishing, that ain't hustling. Dreaming, no, that ain't it either. It's dialing the phone, it's making the appointment, it's writing the book, it's submitting the book. It's playing music on the street. It's playing music in a rinky-dink joint where nobody's listening. It's in taking action. It's not in thinking about taking action. So go out and take some action. And there it is. Leaning Toward Wisdom, episode 4079. Hustle is the breakfast of championship accomplishment. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'd love it if you would visit the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. Just snoop around. Do what you want. That's it. That's the call to action. I appreciate you listening. Coming to you from North Central Texas, otherwise known as the Dallas-Fort Worth area of Tejas. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm coming to you from inside the Yellow Studio. Thanks. Work. About a year later, the same boys, AWB, Average White Band, would release a record. And the name of the record was Cut the Cake. This was the title track. And yes, you can buy this at iTunes as well. Average White Band, Cut the Cake. Enjoy.
Please.